Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Bud Pod 256.
256. You like this. You like this, don't you? If you're still listening to us on episode 256, then you like
you
this.
You like this. That's yeah. Something a bit sexy about that. And maybe not in a good way.
How can anything be sexy in a bad way?
Like,
is that possible?
Yeah, I think so. I mean sexy in the sense of like intent or notionally, as opposed to by definition appealing.
Okay. Not sexy in quality, sexy in intent. I see what you're
saying. Intent and in presumption.
Ah, yes, that can be unpleasant. I understand.
Yeah, like someone dancing around going, "Ooh, you like this." Like there's a bit of that to it.
Well, I like being on holiday, Pierre. We're recording this a little early.
Yeah.
Because when this comes out, I will be in the Canary Islands.
Mm-hmm. And you've never been.
With my gluten-free. With my...
Yes.
People started calling their girlfriends a gluten-frees.
According to the last 5 minutes of my life, they have.
Yeah, I'm off with my gluten-free to the Canary Islands. Never been to the Canary Islands before. They're Spanish-populated African islands. Spanish-speaking African islands populated by drunk Brits.
Yeah, and some Germans, I think.
Okay.
I think the Germans and the Brits compete for who can go to Spain and drink the most.
Woof.
Yeah.
That's a losing battle. Germans.
Yeah, I would think so, but...
I don't think the Germans have counted on just how much the British hate themselves and their lives.
Well, just need to be hot.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm speaking on the alcohol front specifically.
Oh, no, yeah, totally. But like, they're like that at home as well, yeah.
It's true. I am looking forward to traveling to a very different climate, but staying in the same time zone. This is not something... a British person gets to do very much because there is essentially nothing directly south of us.
Yes, that's true. South Africa is only 1 hour different.
That's right. That's weird.
Yeah.
Canary Islands, I think, is the same. Or maybe it's 1 hour.
Yeah.
Is there that weird dotted line? Does it come across out into the sea after Spain and then encompass the Canary Islands?
Yes, I think it does do that. There's an annoying thing about time zones, so they haven't done it with lines, they've done it on vibe.
Yeah,
because there's no reason for Paris not to be in the same time zone.
It's true. Are we... Ireland is same as us.
Yeah.
So are the British Isles the only place with GMT zero?
Ooh, in Europe?
Yeah.
Iceland must be same as us.
Iceland?
Surely. Surely.
Iceland time zone.
You are right.
Yeah. Is Iceland, since 1968, Iceland has been in the Greenwich Mean Time Zone.
The Beatles did it.
What?
That was the Beatles. We just feel like you should be in the same time zone as us. Doesn't make sense for you to... Then they went, for the Beatles, for you, Ringo, we will change all the clocks.
Okay, so I'm going... I'm going to... type countries in the GMT time zone.
Just bring up a map,
and
mate.
Just
Google Images maps, no?
No, I'm going to do it this way. So our bet is the UK, the Republic of Ireland, and Iceland.
Yeah.
Three countries in GMT. Do we have any more guesses?
Western Sahara.
Any more?
I don't know if it's officially a country, but...
Western Sahara.
Mm.
Sierra Leone, is that as far west?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Gambia.
Okay. I'm I feel like they'd stay one. I feel like they'd stay plus one, yeah, just for convenience.
That's true.
So my bet is UK, Ireland, Iceland.
Azores.
Azores? Yeah. Okay, so Pierre's out there with Azores. Here we go. Countries in the GMT time zone. What? You're kidding.
What? Is it just swear words?
It says, don't ever fucking search this again. And then it's just a picture of a gun.
Picture of a gun.
What the hell? Okay.
Well, what is it?
What? Okay.
Phil, we're on tenterhooks.
What? Here. Yeah, I'm trying to figure
you
out.
Keep saying the word what?
Greenwich mean. Well, plus one in time. Okay, so.
Yes.
Greenwich Mean Time is defined in law as standard time for. Oh, it's just quite a.
I think the Google images would have been better.
Oh, okay, here we go. Greenwich Mean Time is used as standard time all year round in the following countries.
Yeah.
Burkina Faso, The Gambia, Ghana, Guinea-Bissau, Iceland, Ivory Coast, Liberia, Mali, Mauritania.
Mali.
Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, in brackets, disputed.
Western Sahara.
It sounds like...
Is that Western Sahara?
Ah, I see.
I think it is.
Wow, odd that anything with Democratic Republic in the name has anything disputed about it.
Doesn't sound right.
St. Helena, Ascension, and Tristan da Cunha, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Togo. So, there are actually fucking loads.
I was right. Sahrawi, that's Western Sahara, is the disputed territory. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, I had.
Thank you, Model UN.
But also Canary Islands, Faroe Islands, Portugal, Ireland, UK.
Portugal makes okay. Sense.
It's loads. Fair enough.
Yeah. So that would be an interesting travel show. A man who refuses to deal with jet lag.
That's fun. You're in Western Africa for a lot of that show.
Yeah, and why not? And then Iceland, a real vibe shift. A real vibe shift to go from Ghana to Iceland. I wonder if that's a journey many people have made.
From Ghana to Iceland.
From Ghana to Iceland. A what story? There's got to be a pun there. Something to do with herring and gold.
The ghost of socialism is haunting Ghana to Iceland.
From Ghana to Iceland, there is a ghost haunting... People go, Ghana to Iceland? That's a good way to ruin a speech. If you're a politician and use slightly odd examples, it's going to be so distracting. Yeah. People are going to be too busy going, wait, did he say Ghana and Iceland? And they're not going to be listening to the next 10 things you say.
Yeah.
Phil.
We shall fight them in the marshes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We shall fight them on the dales.
Did he say bayou?
We shall fight them in some clearings.
We shall fight them in the bayou. Do we have bayou? Huh? I don't think we have bayous. Do we have bayou? And then someone goes, well, actually, technically, some of the salt marshes. And
the pH levels of some of...
the soil. And you go, yeah, but still, it doesn't feel like the right word. Feels like he shouldn't have done that. Sorry, what was he saying? Now, Phil.
Yeah.
I've come. We're recording early because you're going to the Canarias, and so I've just come from doing my other audio talkie job, which is the Frank Skinner radio show.
Yes,
on Absolute Radio.
Absolute.
And we were discussing
absolutely cheating on this podcast. That's what Pierre's doing.
That's right. we were discussing something that we should discuss. It would be remiss of us to ignore this. It's the Willy Wonka Glasgow.
Of course, yes. The online sensation, the hit, Scotland's Fire Festival, the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience. So fun, so funny.
To be clear, it's
for people who don't know, for people who are somehow under a digital rock, Pierre.
Yeah.
How would you describe this story?
Shall I describe it? I'll describe it like it's a story as if I was one of the customers. Like,
okay.
Like as if it, like the way it was experienced.
So you're going to role play.
Yeah, yeah, in real life.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. There's one of those immersive experiences. Some London-based companies come up to Glasgow and they're doing like, it's like Willy Wonka. They don't say Wonka because obviously they'll get sued, but yeah, it looks good. It's in a warehouse and you get your kids, get the weans around there, and the website looks quite good. It's all chocolate and that, and there'll be like some, you know, free sweets and that. And so like people were like, oh, this will be good. And it was Willy's Chocolate Experience is what it was called for copyright reasons. And it was Willy McDuff, the chocolatier, and his oopsie doodles. And the whole thing, it turned out, was just generated by AI and put on by this lunatic who just thought that an AI-generated script and an AI-generated website would be enough. And then parents paid 35 quid a ticket.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot. And they showed up. And it was a sort of warehouse with like some sort of like Candyland props and sort of a single banner and a table with plastic cups of lemonade on. And every kid got one jelly bean.
It was a kind of place a terrorist suspect would get renditioned. Yeah. It's kind of place you'd have in Saw. Someone would be tortured and saw. It's just like
cold,
empty concrete, and then one table with plastic cups of lemonade, looking like urine samples set out. That's what the table of lemonades looked like. It just looked like urine samples collected at the Olympic Village or something.
Yeah, what I liked about the table of lemonade,
and then just sort of a sparse smattering of candy themed sculptures on an otherwise completely undecorated floor, and on the walls were just printouts of Candylands hung sagging onto bare concrete walls.
What I liked about the lemonade display was it was a raw trestle table, just an unfolded trestle table, and they'd kind of arranged the half cups of lemonade, which were in plastic office water machine cups. But
oh, the place was sparse. It was badly decorated for an AA meeting.
Yeah.
If I walked into an AA meeting and looked like that, I'd have said, come on, guys, put in some effort. I know we're all alcoholics, but
we need cheering up. This is not helping. But on the table of lemonade, Phil, they had the lemonade kind of laid out, but they hadn't removed just like the cardboard box the cups came in. And just like bits of packaging were just on the table as well. It wasn't even as nicely laid out as you would do it if that was all you had to do. And there was no suggestion of magic at all. And they got at the last minute some poor bunch of fucking actors with like a day's notice.
Yeah.
Who I'm sure will get paid on time and in full. and they just had to like try and learn this AI script. And also because it's an AI script and it's just Willy McDuff and this whole made up shit. It had a villain. There was a villain in the script, and that was the Unknown.
Yeah. The Unknown, who is an evil chocolate maker that lives in the walls.
A harrowing idea. So how does he make chocolate from in a wall? It's so stupid. The robots did a bad job on this.
And the clip that's gone viral, well, it's all gone viral, but the clip of the Unknown is the actors playing Willy McDuff saying the Unknown, and the Unknown peers from behind a mirror, and that you just hear Scottish children slowly cotton on that something's not right, and they go, no.
You hear them begin to cry. As the Unknown, wearing a chrome like Squid Game mask, kind of like jerkily moves behind, for some reason, a mirror that's in a corner of a warehouse, and the fake Willy Wonka is doing his best to be engaged with the script, and oh man,
it's a wonderful story that's brought the entire country together.
There's nothing funnier to anyone, I think, than a theatrical disaster. It's funny. A bad play is funny.
It is funny. Already people are talking Halloween costumes. Yeah. They're talking conspiracy theories. There's a theory that the unknown is Kate Middleton, who's been sort of missing from public duties for 2 months now.
I didn't so that's the realize that theory. She had gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, people who are more attentive of the royals than you and I, which is a lot of people, it turns out.
Oh, it's most people.
Have noted that Kate Middleton has not been seen in public for about 2 months now, I think.
Yeah, which is a Michael Jackson length of time.
Yeah, well, they've said the palace has said that she's gone in for abdominal surgery.
Yeah.
But has had to cancel engagements that have been in the diary and surely they would have known about. I don't know, this is conspiracy mill churning. And the most fun conspiracy is that she is playing the unknown, because the unknown is not unmasked at any point.
Yeah.
No one knows who the unknown is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, the unknown.
That's, yeah, I mean,
she's been away for 2 months getting into character. Doing a lot of research, learning her lines.
Yeah, she went method. In order to play the unknown, she herself must be unknown to the public.
And live in a wall and make chocolate inside a wall.
That's it. It's a wonderful story because it combines... It's sort of the fire festival for the AI age.
Yeah.
Right? This is a con that's been made possible by AI and by AI art, which was used to sell it on the webpage. Because you look at the AI art and all the words at the bottom that promise what children can look forward to are phrases that don't make sense. They all hint at things like unbelievable spectrum.
Oh, do you want to hear some of them?
Oh, yeah. Some of these letters don't even make sense. Why? I don't know why AI art is so bad at
science.
Letters. Yeah, signs and English and words.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to understand what they're for. So the first one you see is a
and this is a picture of like a magical
landscape,
candy forest.
Well, there's one that just says "Imagination Lab." they promise a twilight tunnel. In the twilight tunnel, journey through a dimly lit passage adorned with captivating projections and enigmatic sounds, none of which seem to exist. And in the picture of the twilight tunnel is the a series of words that say the following, Phil. So let's see if you can whisper what these are supposed to be. This is our first AI whispering.
Whoa, AI Wonka whispering, okay. I mean, this will be so detached from logic, I can't imagine I'll be able to.
This one should be easy. Lightning.
Lightning?
Yeah, light ng. Lightung.
Lighting effects.
Yeah, lighting.
Lighting, okay.
Lighting. Oh, lighting. Dim tight.
Dim tight.
Yeah, it just says dim tight.
Diminutive tights.
Yeah, on the Oompa Loompas, maybe. Sorry, the wonky the wonky doodles.
Oh, so we don't know the answers for this.
No, we don't. We're just guessing.
We can only guess, yeah.
Depractions.
Distractions.
Yeah, and depictions.
Depressing distractions. Yes, they did deliver on that.
The robot knew. Okay, vivu sounds.
Vuvuzelas.
Yes.
Vivu sounds.
The wonky doodles play vuvuzelas to scare away the unknown.
Wonky doodles.
Ungirivel.
Unbelievable.
Ungirivel. Your experience at this place will be ungirivel. That sounds like German for unbelievable. Ungirivel.
Yeah.
Empretty.
Impressive.
And pretty. Empretty.
And pretty. Empretty.
That's quite good neologisms. These are quite good new words. We're back at Dimdich.
It is fascinating, though, that people
always Dodgejection.
Dodgejection.
Energemic sounds. Svider and unexpected twits.
It is very Germanic. You're right. It does sound very Germanic.
I hope
interesting that the language itself is in an uncanny valley between English and nothing.
Yes, and it also promises enshrining entertainment. It says the Entertaining Entertainment, Catcagating, live performances, Karchi Tons, Exarzadre lollipops, and a Pasadise of sweet teats.
Okay, now I don't want to get accused here of victim blaming, but if I'm a parent and I'm on the website for the Wonka experience and I see words like distracting entertainment, maybe I'm not going to go.
It says here that they'll be free. It says Chocolabe. Free Chocolabe.
Chocolate.
Like, Chocolate if you were lab. A parent looking at it going, free Chocolabe, that sounds good.
Yeah, you're telling me, saying, you promise free chocolate. We promise free Chocolabe. Chocolabe is William McDuff's word for the air. So tuck in, enjoy.
I think you'll find that we promised you free Chocolabe. It's such a, like, Glaswegian Willy Wonka is so on the nose. It's something that is like a depressing warehouse. Like, it doesn't do Glasgow any favours, this story.
But it has given joy to the rest of the nation.
To be fair, it is very Glaswegian in the sense that it's something visually quite depressing that's actually hysterically funny.
Yes.
I think that says a lot. That's the spirit of the city itself.
it is like if Limmy wrote Fire Festival.
Yes, it is like a Limmy sketch. Right? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Just a really sad Oompa Loompa with a thick Glaswegian accent. Really,
it is so funny. And the guy in charge of it is like in the clip of parents screaming at him. He just is such an obvious creepy con man. And he's
got a lot of necklaces,
like a weirdly high voice, very thin high voice. You know what I mean? He's quite unsettling. He's really unsettling. He's hiding behind the bouncers. He's got this really unsettling voice. And he's sold, or at least tried to sell, AI-written novels on Amazon.
Just gibberish novels.
And I think this is another piece of evidence for me that I think this whole AI takeover thing is overblown. I don't think it's happening.
Do you think AI is going to end up being like the equivalent of Second Life or something? Like when Second Life came out, everyone went
on. Like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it will have practical applications.
It writes code very well, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. So like coding, learning to code now is almost pointless.
Yeah.
But I think its threat to the arts, I think, is overblown. Because there's this weird presumption among people who herald the end for the arts because of AI. There's this weird presumption that people watch films and TV and read books simply because they exist.
Yeah.
But that's not true. People reject most of the TV and and movies and film books that are made because they're not good enough. So the idea that you could just have AI make what will be, by definition, derivative works of fiction.
Yeah.
The idea that they'll overtake truly creative works of art, I think it's nonsense. I think, for all my pessimisms, I have more faith in the human spirit than that.
I have more faith in human boredom.
Ah, this is a good way of putting it,
too. Because humans will just go, yeah, shit, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure, I don't like
exactly.
it.
Exactly. No one, the most people have ever said about a piece of AI art is, that's impressive. No one's gone, that's beautiful. No one has ever said that's beautiful.
Also,
you've gone, oh, that's impressive. That does kind of look like the thing.
Yeah.
But no one's gone, oh, it's beautiful. It's made me feel something new. Not once.
Also, like, the people saying it's impressive are people saying, like, that's amazing, given that a robot's done that using other things humans made before.
That's right.
So, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, given exactly. all of these contextual clues, it's impressive. But
I wonder what historical precedent is a best analogy.
Printing press, maybe. It. Like, no need to hand write every book; just stamp it out. And being able to print pictures, hundreds of the same picture.
But is there anything that has taken human creativity out of a process?
Photography?
Ah, yeah, I think that's probably the best. I think that is the best analogy.
You have to learn to use this technology, and it's still a creative act, actually. It's just that it's got a bit of technology in
there. you literally have to point it in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think that's probably the perfect analogy. And again, when photography was invented, people thought that was the end of painting, and it wasn't. When TV was invented, people thought it was the end of cinema, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Books, even.
Books, yeah.
Still around. Also, looking at the AI art on the website, it looks like all the other AI art I've ever seen. It's sort of always a kind of slightly glowing and lumpy. And like,
yeah, and people, you know, AI watchers have said they can tell when something's made by Midjourney. They can tell when something's made by DALL-E. Like all these AIs have a style.
Like an artist.
Yeah. And they all end up being derivative and worthless. Yeah, I don't buy it personally. I don't buy it. Yeah. I think we value art because of the human connection. It's not a part of it we've tried to get rid of ever.
Also, if you are the kind of person who cares, like, there's loads of, you know, guys on Twitter being like, "Well, I would hang this in my house, and I have, and because that's how good I like it. That's how much I like this AI art I've made." And it's like, that's fine. You can do that, but you are a angry little coding man from Silicon Valley or whatever. You aren't buying art now. The art world existed and without you before. It will keep existing without you. They don't need.
And also, these people work in the industry. They have a vested interest in bigging up the significance of this development.
Yeah,
it's like someone with, oh, what a surprise! The guy with $1 million worth of Bitcoin says Bitcoin is the future.
Yeah, but also, you know, like, the people who like art now aren't the ones saying it, is what I mean.
No.
So when they're like, "Yeah, well, I could do all this AI art," and it's like, "Yeah, okay, but none of the people who like art like that. Only you like that, and you don't like art." What does that mean?
Yeah, you might as well get live, laugh, love on your wall.
You've just got a robot to draw your favorite things. You've gone, "I like reindeer and I like Metal Gear Solid, so I want him hanging out with a reindeer, Solid Snake." And you go, "Yeah, the AI can do that. It's going to look great." Or it's going to look like what you want, but no one else wants that. And it's not individual, really, in the same way.
It's almost like saying that one day sex robots will replace all human sex.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to happen, is it? No matter how good the robots get, it's just not going to happen, because there's something fundamental about real physical intimacy,
and also just
that requires two human beings.
Intimacy,
I would say,
and validation, and
yes, exactly,
experience, and so much. Yeah, as you say, the people who always go on about how it's going to replace things. It's like, all writers will be made redundant by AI, says bitter failed writer who codes for AI. And you go, right, okay. No, I think there's some projection going on here.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of projection going on here. In the same way there's projection the other way, where people go, if only they made Elon Musk read Wuthering Heights, then he wouldn't be so fucking weird. It's like, no, I don't think literature can solve everything. The study of literature can't solve everything.
No.
What would you use AI to do, Phil? I used AI in my last Edinburgh Fringe poster.
Yes, I think that's pretty good.
Certainly saved me a lot of money on stock images.
You're not making comedy posters as art. You're making them to get a message across.
Also, it's because I had an idea and I needed an image of a black and white audience picture where they were all laughing and looking at the camera, and that didn't really exist. Stock images came close, but even the closest stock image was not very high resolution and was like 150 quid.
Mm. I think the main use of AI will be removing a layer of admin work from the economy and freeing up an entire class of people who otherwise would have been administrators or fact checkers or proofreaders or data entrists.
But even then, like, AI hallucinates. We've seen it hallucinates data and makes it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then also,
but I think that can be patched up in a way that, you know, the gap between AI and human art can't.
It's also like with some AI.
My catchphrase is that the Industrial Revolution ended manual labor, and AI revolution will end menial labor.
Interesting.
That's my soundbite.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of hope so.
I mean, again, with the caveat that the Industrial Revolution didn't end all manual labor, and AI won't end all menial labor, but it'll significantly reduce it.
Yeah. The other problem is that a lot of these AIs, what you feed them, the company owns, or like they use it to teach themselves things. So if you had a unique invention and you asked an AI what you thought about it, you'd be telling your secret to the AI. It would know the secret. And that's dodge. Because it could burp it out to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to watch out for that. Speaking of burping robots, we should do some correspondence.
Yes. Let us listen to the correspondence. This is really Phil and Pierre. Definitely not an AI. They have left so they can go eat some burgers.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Correspondence.
We've heard from Rob.
Rob, you corn on the cob.
You corn on the cob, Rob. Cher frère de mer de l'ami du pipi.
Is that Phil and Pierre?
Dear shit brothers and piss friends.
Ah!
Cher frère, I think it would be Gmail.
We began as piss brothers and became shit friends.
I hope you're both well. It's not quite in keeping with the usual tat Mr. Wang whispers, but I thought this rather extreme bumper sticker was so strange I had to share it. So... Spotted a while ago in the good old US of A on the rear of a baby blue coloured hip new VW Beetle convertible.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that's the
car. American dream.
Likely driven by a young, cool Los Angelino, or maybe a fun-loving soccer mom.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little sticker or two highlighting your love's core beliefs, or just a bit of fun. Sure.
Why not? Why Chish not? It up.
Why, what's
this? Put a little bit of yourself on that car.
Yeah, but as you get a bit of yourself on your bumper.
Yeah.
For the traffic. What's this I spy? A dog paw print sticker with a lovely rainbow pattern. Highlighting the driver's love of animals and their support for the LGBTQI+ community. I think it's a gay bear sticker.
Oh.
I think it's a bear paw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you think... Right.
I'll zoom in on it and I'll show you on the camera.
Let me see. Oh, I don't know. It's quite dog-like.
Do you think?
For me, it's quite dog-like. Yeah.
Do you think it's a furry thing?
It could also be brass knuckles. It might be brass knuckles. It might be...
I don't know.
A queer street fighting ring.
Queer street fighting ring? Yeah, could be. I do Absolute Radio in Soho, and there's at least one gay bear shop.
Yeah.
Like, all it does is gay bear business.
Yeah.
And that's got a paw logo. So that's why I think it's gay bears.
Does it look like that paw there?
I think so. Let me check my closet. I don't know.
I think that's a pretty good guess. But what would be the game plan there then? You put a bear sticker on your bumper, hoping behind you an interested bear in a different car rolls up and sees it, and he takes down your license plate number.
Yeah.
And looks you up that way, or gives you a little honk. And say,
I found a sticker, LGBT poor pet friendly. I'm a pet friendly gay. Does that need to be said?
Yeah, I'm gay, but don't want you to think that means I hate animals. I'm one of the gay people who doesn't hate animals.
Okay, so this is a sticker that's called Gay Pride Rainbow Paw LGBT Bear Dog Pet Car Sticker. So they're covering all the bases there for Google search.
Too many words. Okay. Right, now this one, yeah, but this has little
claws.
Sharp bits coming out of the toes.
But it's the same otherwise.
That looks like a claw to me. But the last thing you showed me had no sharp claw bits and looked to me like dog paw.
Yeah, I don't really know what it's for.
I think it's LGBT dog owners. I think that's all it is.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find someone saying...
This
like
is
a
LA, it's the land of identity.
Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to find reviews where people go like, love getting this for my gay-friendly dog groomers or something, you know, like... poor print. Yeah. That's Phil scratching his neck.
With my hind leg.
With his hind leg. Sorry. Yeah. He needs a dog sticker. Yeah. The reviews just say that they think it's great.
The reviews of the sticker?
Yeah. Sorry. My oven is beeping for no reason.
Oh, that's what that is. Yeah.
My girlfriend likes to pour water all over the oven. Hang on.
Are the cookies done? Sounds like the cookies are done. Oh, wow. Pierre's left me alone. I don't think this has ever happened. Well, I guess we'll talk about cookies. I've always been a fan of cookies with a chewy middle bit. A little variation
Sorry,
texture,
Phil.
I think, can really add to the... Oh, thank goodness. I was speaking about cookies. I was just saying to the Podbuds that I've never been left alone in that situation.
No, you haven't.
And I had to start talking about what kinds of cookies I like because
did you?
That's the last thing I said.
Did you?
And yeah.
So okay, well, okay. That's regardless of the meaning. I think we're broadly in agreement of what it is. It's some sort of gay
paw.
But that's not what we're talking about, Phil.
No.
That's not the sticker we're interested in.
Okay, what is this sticker? Wow, so, okay, this is a distraction.
Rob goes on. Then what's this? Above and to the right on the rear windscreen. So it's at the top right of the rear windscreen.
Yeah.
A yellow warning sticker. So it's one of those yellow warning stickers.
Like a hazard sign.
Yeah. Like baby on board.
Oh, yeah. Oh, triangle.
Yeah. It's not a triangle, but it's... Oh, no, it is a triangle. It's a diamond.
Oh, yeah.
It's a diamond. What does it say? Maybe it says baby on board or something like if you're close enough to read this, you're too close or something to do with the emergency services. What do you think it says, Phil? If you guess this, I will give you £100.
Does it have anything to do with the dog?
No, I would not say so.
I'm going to say... It says...
It's two words.
Oh!
What was your guess? What was your guess going to be before I said that?
Honk if you like hand jobs.
Interesting. Even more direct than a sticker with a rainbow on.
I reckon it just says, fuck me.
Jesus Christ.
Is it? What? I thought that's what you're going for. Is it very direct?
I said I'd give you £100 if you guessed it. That means it's got nothing to do with the first sticker. It means it's a hard... like, you're not going to get this, but I'd love to see you try.
Right, okay. Nothing.
Here's your clue. It's fucking crazy. It's not an addendum to the previous sticker. They, I would say. Not in my opinion.
Okay. I'm going to say it says... I'm going to say it says bus enthusiast.
What?
Bus enthusiast.
Very hypocritical to be driving a car with that on.
Well, yeah, that's what would make it a surprising thing to have on your car.
Yeah, no, it doesn't say bus enthusiast, Phil. It says pedophile killer.
Wow!
Look. Look at that.
I can't see it. You're showing me the wrong part of the phone.
No.
Yeah, there we go. Fucking hell, it really does say that. And spelt the American way.
Yeah, pedophile.
Pedophile.
Pedophile killer. It says...
Well, when I suggested it said fuck me, and you went Jesus Christ, I thought, wow, okay, I guess it's not that harsh. But it's harsher.
I said it was fucking mental. I just meant like, I said fuck me because you were just like, well, you start with the rainbow paw and then you just go straight in with, you know, shag my hoop, I'm a bear or something and they'll stick it. It's like, no, Phil.
Yeah.
No, you're ready.
Yeah.
You answer these sometimes like you live in a world that makes sense. The world is chaos, Phil.
Oh, so you were appalled because my guess made too much sense.
And it was just like, it lined up too much. It was too... I didn't think you were grasping the scale of how crazy it was. Because I was looking at the phrase pedophile killer.
Well, now I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pedophile killer. So Rob says, yes, you... No, it's that helpful warning that surely is easy to source as a sticker from most shops simply stating pedophile killer. Yeah, yes, you read that right. From? A driver of a fun VW wants to ensure other road users are absolutely clear that they're in the proximity of someone who will, without doubt, kill pedophiles. Or pedophiles if you're American, but I'm not going to argue that point with them. I didn't Americans read the whole email first. Sorry, Rob. He says, what are the chances Phil could guess the phrase based on the clues, noun for someone unsavory, followed by noun for another unsavory person?
Oh, that's
pedophile
funny.
And killer. Yeah. That's good. I still think the odds were quite low.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Americans also say pederast.
A pederast? Yeah, sometimes they do, yeah, but that's an ancient Greek sort of word.
Wow, is it?
Yeah, it's very old-fashioned. It's very old-fashioned. What's the technical definition of that? I'm going to look that up. Pederast. Define
pederast.
A man who engages in sexual activity with a boy or youth.
Okay, so it's specific.
Yeah, it's an ancient Greece thing. It's a bit of a... Yeah, it seems a bit specific. Like, why do we need that word now? I think it's just some weird old-fashioned thing that's hanging around.
In America, as they all do.
Yes.
Old English words hide in America like Nazis in South America. Do you think?
Yeah, that's it.
Pederast.
You're a goddamn pederast. Sweet Pete has sent us some tat.
Sweet Pete, so sweet. I feel complete.
It's a can of wine.
Oh, yeah.
Would you drink this wine, Phil? It says dry French vegan. Yeah?
Oof. I mean, nothing wrong with those things in a wine. All those things together in a canned wine. I'm getting a little nervous.
Here's the description. We're wine for the moments that matter.
No, I don't want it.
In brackets. And the magically meaningless ones, too. What does that mean?
No, it just means buy this and drink this all the time. We don't care.
I would love to buy wine that says, buy this and drink this all the time on the back. So just come, no idea of responsibility at all. Just buy this and drink it all the time, please. What, in the morning? Yes.
Yeah, this was the competing campaign to drink responsibly. It was between drink responsibly and buy this and drink this all the time.
Yeah. It came down, it was 52-48 in the end, nationally.
Is there any more information about what the wine is?
Yes, in a way. I think also magically meaningless moments to drink wine in feels a bit like, even when you're munted and can't remember where you are, just have another can.
Yeah, or like the morning breakfast.
Yeah.
On the school run.
Put it on your cereal.
In the shower. That's a meaningless moment. Why not have a wine?
Have it in the shower. Fall over. be discovered days later. It's wine. We're wine for the moments that matter, and the magically meaningless ones too. We'll be your sons out wine. Brunch wine, festival wine, whatever wine, whenever. Let's wine.
In other words, Pierre, buy this and drink this all the time.
Buy this and drink this all the time. You whispered their vibe before I even read it. And then the final phrase there, Phil, I don't know if you've picked up on that. Let's wine.
No!
Really gross.
The verbification of nouns continues. I thought this was over.
It keeps going.
The end of this. There's more.
Footnotes. Hashtag wine for whenever.
Ugh.
If I went to someone's house and they went, oh, I've always got a bottle of wine in the fridge for, you know, whenever, I'd go, oh, okay. Are you okay? We're needy. Talk to us. And then their email address.
Ugh.
Or stalk us, and then their Instagram. And then...
I'm going to see it.
And then...
I don't know how many followers they have. Oh, yeah.
Scan this ugly QR code to find out why this can has a bit of extra breathing room.
Oh, what does that mean, a bit of extra breathing room?
Like it's not filled to the brim? Are you angry that we haven't filled your everyday wine can to the fucking brim? Scan
this QR
code.
What's the name of this... would you show me the wine brand?
It's so I can look? The Instagram is terrible. At drink nice.
You're kidding.
Drink nice. What do they got?
Okay. Let's see how many people decided to stalk them. 22,900 people.
That's disappointingly high. Come on, everyone.
Oh yeah, I've seen these guys around. I've seen these cans about.
Nice, drink nice. Scan this ugly QR code. Fuck off. I don't want to read. Yeah. I don't want to imagine someone reading that and going, "Yeah, they are ugly, aren't they?" Shut up.
Will wackaging ever be gone?
No, it must work, mustn't it? Mustn't it?
I guess it must. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it tricks people into thinking they're taking part in, like, a cute project, like someone's little project and not a multi-million pound company.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. It's gross. Well, Phil, look, it's time to go to the Wackaging Wine Company for VIPs
only.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that. Otherwise, see you all very soon. Pierre is on at the Soho Theatre.
Soho Theatre, guys. Tickets are 60% sold, something like that.
Ooh,
we're over halfway, so you're going to miss out if you don't get on it, please.
Get down on it.
Mm. So, yes, I would love to see you guys there. I would love to have lots of kojish in the crowd.
Lots of kojish. And I am in the Canary Islands. And so if you can find me in the Canary Islands, I'm not going to tell you which one. I will say hello.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Enjoy, everyone. Much love. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.